Hey, it's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Tony Colombo on vacation, so Chad Ellis, our executive producer, and myself are going to hang out and take care of business this week. That was the voice of Trace Adkins, by the way, who performed phenomenally at the Republican National Convention. That big old deep voice. And when I had hair, I kind of looked like him, but I was mistaken for him a little bit. But then, you know, I did the bald thing, but it is Second Amendment and the Great Outdoors. That song is about fishing, and you got to look up Trace's new song because it is fantastic. This show is about your Second Amendment rights. It is about outdoor activities like fishing. We talk about a little bit of everything. And as Tony continues his outdoor activities down at Disney World, because he is a huge Disney fan, him and his whole family, they're down there. We figured we'd take the opportunity to talk to a few guests that we haven't heard from ever and in a while. We got one recurring guest, but then as we start every show, we have Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory. And Aaron, how are you doing today, sir?
Good. How are you, Bo?
I'm good, man. I'm good. You're running splits, so you're running crazy. But thanks for waking up to be a part of the show. And really, I don't know if Tony ever thanks you, but I want to thank you for doing the heavy lifting as far as being a first responder, because it is a different world. The big story last week, I actually took part in the first ever peace march in downtown St. Louis, along with Ann Dorn and Kim Kowalski. And that that march went from 18th and Olive down to Market and then over to the Civil Courts building where the statue for fallen police officers is. They did a flower presentation. Ann Dorn spoke. Kim Kowalski spoke. It was such a beautiful event. We had about 200 or 300 people there. You know, the Blues fire truck was there. It was great. We all drove away from that thinking, okay, I think we've made a change. And then later that night, two police officers were shot and one was killed. Officer Bohannon died from his gunshot wound to his head. And so I'm thinking, as a first responder like yourself, that was probably top of mind for you when that story came out.
Yeah, we were actually working at the firehouse when we saw the news flash go across. And he was actually an Oakville grad, just like me, from I think 2009. His wife was an 08 grad.
Wow, I didn't know that.
An 07. And I'm an 03. So
he's a guy that tried to do it right, you know, had a nice family, a good church going man, and just trying to do the best for the St. Louis area. It's just very sad, because the irony was the peace march happened and then that happens. It's like, well, what did we even do? What do we do the peace march for then? You know, if nobody's paying attention.
Right. I think that's exactly what it is. It's everybody's just kind of in their own echo chamber. And just leave it at that.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. And God rest his soul. And you know, Backstoppers has stepped up to help his family, as they do and have had to do so many times. You know, I do want to talk to you, Aaron, about... I'm sorry, say it again?
Great organization, by the way.
Oh, it's phenomenal. They sadly have been having to do the work. But yes, it is a great organization and great events that go along with that. I do want to talk about a story that I saw on the Hill about Missouri lawmakers passing a bill making it legal to give guns to kids without parents' permission. Are you aware of this story?
Did they pass it? Well, the governor sign it. Let's go with that.
Well, it says they passed the bill. I don't know for sure, but the GOP-controlled Missouri House on Tuesday, they advanced the bill that would make it legal to give guns to children without their parents' permission. And I think the spirit of it was, if grandma and grandpa want to take little one out to go shooting, that it wouldn't be against the law. But there's other loopholes in this law that maybe there is a crime being committed with a firearm, and that firearm is given to a family member, possibly a child, so the criminal avoids arrest or felony conviction. Is that the gist of it, do you think?
No, I find that pretty hard to believe. If the gun has been used in a crime, it's going to be evidence. It's not going to matter whose possession it's in. There is a current Missouri law on the books. It says if you're going to give a firearm to anybody under the age of 18, you have to have the custodial parents' permission. And if grandpa or grandma wants to give granddaughter, grandson first 22 rifle or 22 handgun or something, you just need to make sure the parents are on board. And it's just a responsibility thing at that point. Now if it's my mom giving my daughter a gun, well, it's great. It's phenomenal. I'm going to have no issues with it.
How old is your daughter?
She's just turned 3.
Okay, so she does not own a firearm yet, although I've seen on YouTube some very young kids, you know, at the age of like 5 years old, very, very professionally shooting an AR. Their dad and their mom are taking really good care to show them the right way to use a firearm. And as early as 5 years old, and this little girl that I saw in the video was just nailing it. I mean, bullseye every time. It was absolutely beautiful. Number one, parents spending time with their kids. Number two, showing them how to, you know, care for and respect a firearm.
Yeah. And so Piper goes to the gun range with me and sits on the bench right next to me. And she's got, a couple 22s that I like shooting. And, and with her, she'll press the trigger 2-3 times and go, "Okay, Dad, I'm good." And like, okay, that's it? Really? All right, well, I'll finish.
Well, yeah, but it's a start, though. You know, we've heard Tim Shelzik talk about, bringing his kid out to the deer camp for 2 or 3 years before, getting him involved in the actual hunt. That it's pretty cool because they're just around the environment. They're just around it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're still going to – this bill is not going to affect – the fact that they've got to be 18 to buy a long gun, 21 for a handgun, that's federally set.
Of course.
I just find it kind of hard to believe anybody's going to give a little kid a gun. Here you go. Go play with that. That just seems.
Okay. Now you are the owner of a gun store in addition to all the other hats that you wear. Let me ask you, how young were you when you had your first firearm?
I remember going shooting with my grandfather probably when I was 10, 11, 12. We would go to meat shoots, probably even maybe younger than that. I'd have to really think about it. But I remember 12 gauge being a little much to handle. So I was pretty little. But remember going to the VFW and shooting the meat shoots with a 12 gauge. And then I remember first time I shot a handgun as well. So... but I was, probably just a few years older than Piper. I was probably 8 years old at the earliest. So.
Wow. Well, I remember at 7 years old when my dad and mom were divorcing, my dad gave me a BB gun, a Daisy BB gun, and he said, "You're the man of the house. You got to protect these girls." And I was like, "Oh, what? Really? What?"
I remember getting a BB gun in like sixth grade, little, it was a handgun. You had to cock it manually, and then it accepted pellets, BBs, and darts. And I remember just going out and shooting paper targets in the backyard, and I was just like, this is great. This is not like the CO2-powered ones they have today.
So they're pretty serious.
Yeah, it was an old Crossman pistol. I still got it, actually.
That's very cool. Well, hey, tell us what's going on at Southern Armory. We've got a lot of show to put in here, but what are you guys doing? How's things over at the store?
Well, we've got ammo. That is starting to come in pretty regularly with our manufacturers. Our AR manufacturer that we picked up is just killing it. They send us about 10 guns every week, and we're just super thrilled. And Jess is like, they're now that kind of the word is out that we've got them, they're selling out. She got in a bunch within a couple of days. She was down to one, and she's like, "I had to order 10 more." And I'm like, "Well, 2 days." And she's like, "Oh, it was more like a day and a half." I was like,
nice.
2 days, day and a half, potato, potato. So if you want just an absolute amazing rifle made in the USA, come check it out. It comes with 230 round magazines. Most of your manufacturers only give you one, and we've gotten a few different versions of it in with just varying degrees of parts on it. So they're just a solid rifle. They're milled basically to match upper and lower, so the tight and finish is the fit is just really tight, and the finish is just amazing. So I'm super impressed with them, and probably be one of my next rifles, and probably a 300 blackout. That's been the caliber I've been playing with here a lot, and I really like it, and especially when you suppress it.
Okay. Well, if you want to buy it before Aaron buys it from the store, you need to go over to Southern Armory. You're in the Crestwood area. Tell them where it's at.
Yeah. So we're at 9901 Watson Road, 1 mile east of 270 and 44. You can check us out on the social medias, Southern Armory on the socials, and southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
I was waiting for you, buddy. All right, Aaron, have a good week, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
Talk to you next week. Bye.
All right, thank you, sir. It is Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Tony Colombo on vacation, but headed back to St. Louis very soon. But I definitely wanted to put in a plug because we got an outdoor event that's going to be happening, and it's an annual event that Tony will be at. Actually, his buddy Chris Arps will be alongside him. It seems like they're a duo you can't separate. But we've got Linda Lipka from The Taste in Ferguson. It's coming up next weekend, the September 13th. And so we wanted to get you on the phone to find out what this event is about, because I don't know about this event and we need to get the word out. So I'm thinking it's food related.
Yes.
Linda, how are you?
Good.
Talk to me about this event. Is this to feature restaurants in the area? Tell me what you got going on.
So this is our eighth annual year, and in the years past, it's been a food competition, and it's had a festival atmosphere of bringing community together. This year with COVID, of course, we had to rethink. And so what we created to keep our event alive, because the premise of our event is to raise funds so that we can give scholarships. My partners in this event are Bob and Peggy McGartland, and we do this in honor of our children. So they lost their son. I lost my daughter, and we give scholarships in memorial of our children. So this is how we raise the money to give those scholarships. They give to parochial education. I give to high school seniors to achieve their college dreams. Then this event, as I said, has been growing. So in a matter of keeping it alive, making sure that we can still provide for these kids, we rebranded, recreated our event. So what we've done is we have taken this opportunity to recreate the event in a manner that allows us to support the restaurants in a time when they definitely need our support, as well as, you know, paying them back for all the years they've supported us, because they've pretty much donated their food in the years past. This year, we are buying the food directly from them. So when a guest buys a ticket, they know that they are financially supporting these restaurants, as well as the students that the scholarships go to. So we've got 13 restaurants involved. We are going to have this awesome box full of food. So what you do is you buy your ticket online, you come on September 13th, you drive through the parking lot of the Savoy Banquet Center at 119 South Florissant Road in Ferguson, and we hand you your box of food, and you open it up, and there's all these samples individually packaged from all these different restaurants that you get to sit down with and enjoy every bit of it.
It's a drive-through pickup, but can people stay near the event and enjoy the food, or do they need to take it home?
Well, so the thing about that is they pretty much need to take it home. But if you buy a VIP ticket, we have a VIP experience, and we only have 50 tickets available due to COVID. So what we're doing there is it's $125 for that ticket. You arrive at 3:00, and that ticket includes 2 reserved parking spots. So you have a spot for your car and a spot for yourself to get out and sit in a chair.
Okay.
And then you have you get to sit there and you get to enjoy a concert. So we're going to have Rhoda G, who is a professional jazz saxophonist, and another jazz group called Sextro, and they're going to be performing live music. So you get to sit back in your chair. Hopefully you brought one. And you're
bring your chair.
Right. We'll curbside deliver the food to you, and then you will enjoy your food, enjoy the live music, and then we have an open bar included in that price. So we will deliver beer, wine, soda, and water to you. So, and then your VIP box of food has exclusive swag that we've created just for those ticket holders.
Wow, so that's fantastic.
Yeah, and then so our sampler box, which is the first level, is $35, and that has all the great food in there. Our second level is our sampler plus, and that's $35 plus some really cool swag. Then we have our VIP experience, as I said, is $125, and right now one of our sponsors is challenging the first 30 tickets sold. They will donate an additional $50 to the scholarship fund for each ticket sold. So we encourage people to do that. And you can buy these tickets online at www.thetasteinferguson.com. And then you can also go on social media. We have a lot of presence right now on Facebook and Instagram. So we're real pleased with all of that. So we encourage people to go out there and buy their tickets. And the thing that's super important to keep in mind is because we're buying the food from our vendors and we are ordering it, so to speak, we have to cut off our ticket sales at midnight Thursday, September 10th, because we got to be fair to those restaurants and get them the orders and give them time to create that awesome food. So we want to really let people know you have from now till midnight September 10th to go online and get your tickets purchased. And one other thing I want to tell you, so I don't know if I mentioned the prices. The first box is $35, the second is $50, the VIP is $125. But we're also doing something else that's pretty cool. We want to acknowledge our heroes. So we have a hero box. So if you purchase a hero box, which is the sampler, the $35 version, you will then be able to tell us if you want us to deliver it to a police department, a fire department, or a hospital.
And I saw that on your website. Get your box or give a box. I love that plan. We are running out of time, Linda. I don't mean to cut you off, but for those of you that are looking for dinner plans for Sunday, September 13th between 4 and 6, you got to go before Thursday to thetasteinferguson.com, and you'll see Tony Colombo and Chris Arps out at the event. Linda Lipka, good luck with your mission on raising money for those scholarships. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you, and I appreciate you letting us tell you about our event. We're super excited.
Absolutely. It sounds delicious. This is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We've got a special guest coming up. She's a recurring member on Second Amendment Radio, and I just recently found out she is legit. She is Megan Turnbow. She's an NRA instructor. Coming up next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Tony Colombo continues his vacation. He'll be back here next week, I'm sure, because there's so much going on. We can't live without him. Thanks to executive producer Chad Ellis for doing what he does best, picking out fantastic music. Trace Adkins again there. We do kind of have a theme going. Trace Adkins is just a great country boy. Chad, you're doing a good job. Are you enjoying the music? That's the question.
Actually, I am. I found a weird little niche to country music because of the storytelling, and I am very much so a storytelling kind of person when it comes to music. So everything that I listen to, I kind of need it to have substance and to say real words.
Okay, expect your phone to be blown up because I have all these songs populating in my head just on what you said. You love storytelling? I got you, man. I got you. It is Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, and I want to thank Aaron Tarlow for being on the show, Linda Lipka so far, and of course, if you missed any portion of the program or you want to share this program, please share it. Share the podcast because we put out the podcast of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors on Fridays, and if not, maybe moments before that, and then we also do a podcast exclusive that is exclusive on Mondays. But so I got to thinking last night, in the world that we're living in, it is just crazy, and we just, you know, sometimes you don't know what to believe. So, you know, everybody has to really decipher what is and discern what is truth and what is not. And so I got to thinking about people that are in their isolation situation. Okay, there's a lot of single people, males and females, a lot of single mothers out there. And it got me to thinking about how many single moms carry a concealed weapons permit, or have they gone to training, or do they believe in firearms? And immediately my mind went to a guest that has been on before, Megan Turnbow. I've only known as a big game hunter for so long, and she's always been my go-to when I had questions. Megan, welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. How are you?
I'm terrific. Thanks for having me back.
What was amazing is I simply texted the words last night, "Are you a CCW kind of girl?" And you said, "Now, Bo, you know that I'm an NRA instructor." I did not know that. And you definitely have your CCW. So how often are you doing classes in this time frame? Are you doing any classes?
Actually, right now, I haven't done a class in a long time. I used to do classes with Sheriff Marshak out in Jefferson County, and hopefully we'll get those started back up soon. But he's pretty busy with everything he's doing as he's sheriff. However, I've had my CCW permit since the beginning of time when it was allowed in Missouri. So I'm very.
And about what era was that, do you think?
I'm trying to think. Probably.
Well, you know what? Let's take it.
16 years ago? I don't know.
Let's take the question further, because I asked Aaron Tarlow earlier in the program, at what age did you fire your first firearm?
Oh, my goodness. I was probably 5 or 6 years old, to be honest with you. I've been in the outdoors all my life. My dad and family always had firearms, rifles, pistols, shotguns. So I started out at a very young age.
It always intrigues me to find out, because it sounded like you had a family, a village around you to show you how to do it properly, how to respect firearms. So do you have people that talk to you or ask you, or even in classes you've held before, maybe single moms that have never held a firearm, but in the headlines that we see are worried. They want to protect their family. Number one, safety, to keep the firearm, you know, locked up and safe until you need it. Do you get those kind of questions from your circle?
Actually, I get it all the time, Bo, and what I do with women specifically is we'll go to a range. There's some places around St. Louis, like the range off of Manchester Road, that offer classes specifically for women who've never shot before. I like doing those with women that haven't done that before, because they can train them. I can assist while they're shooting, and it gives a lot of good information. I'm also a member of Top Gun in Arnold, and
it is
a great place, and I'm always available to answer questions with regards to firearms, because it's really nothing to mess with, to be honest with you. It's a firearm. It shoots bullets. You can hurt somebody, kill somebody with that. However, with the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's my right to be able to carry a firearm, and I choose to do so, especially right now with all of the, all of the craziness going on with the world, with the people protesting, and just the violence increase that we've seen lately. And me being single as well, I definitely want to be able to defend myself if something happens.
A point that I want to make, Megan. Megan Turnbow is our guest. She's an NRA instructor. She's held classes, many classes, works with the Jefferson County Sheriff, Dave Marshak. It's not impossible. Now, you had the exception of you had a village of family and friends that, you know, you were raised around guns, so you were very comfortable early on because you learned to respect them and you learned to fear them.
Right.
It isn't impossible for somebody that's never held a gun before. A couple of weeks ago, we had a buddy of mine on, never owned a gun at 62 years old, went to a CCW class. It is not impossible to think, oh, well, I didn't grow up around it, I can't get one. You can be trained correctly, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. And just because you have the CCW permit doesn't mean you know how to properly secure, clean, and work a firearm. You need to practice it just like anything else. If you're in baseball, you need to practice it. If you're in volleyball, you need to practice it. Hunting, whatever it
may
be.
Cooking, anything, yeah.
Right. You have to practice and you have to learn correctly. So just because you have the CCW doesn't mean that, oh my gosh, I can carry a concealed firearm and know how to use it. So my recommendation, ladies, and I'll be happy to get a class together if needed, if people are interested, even one-on-one classes, learn how to work it and know what firearm feels good in your hand and you feel comfortable with it, because you need to be able to take that firearm out wherever it may be and be able to fire it quickly if needed to protect you, so you're not a victim or your children as well. So my
that goes for men too. I do want to point out, yes, this conversation is to women primarily, but also men, because let me tell you, you are better off as being safe by using and going to a CCW class with an NRA instructor like Megan. Because when I took my now wife, when we were dating, I took her out shooting, and I was just so excited that she had any interest, and she had never shot a gun in her life. I was not an instructor. I was just excited about the fact that she wanted to do something with me that I had an interest in. And you know what? It was a 357 Magnum. I didn't even think about ear protection. I was so excited. Her ears rang for 2 weeks. Oh, so it's something simple like that.
Right. And it's a 357 Magnum. I would never have somebody start off with a 357 Magnum because that could scare them off. So I always start with like a 22 because it doesn't kick. You can learn how to aim it and shoot it without it kicking. It's easy to load, unload. So I always start out there. Then I'll go up to like a 380, then a 9mm. And I'll do that for males and females because you don't know their background. You don't know how comfortable they'll feel with holding that a firearm in their hands. It's not a weapon until you utilize it. So I always do that. And I'm actually taking one of my friends who hasn't ever shot a gun before. I'm taking him Saturday to teach him as well. But my suggestion is go to a range that has different types of firearms like Top Gun. You can hold it, feel it, shoot it, and figure out which one feels good in your hand, and that should be the one that you would want to do for a carry and conceal. I don't recommend a 22. I recommend 380, 9mm or higher, just for the knockdown power.
Yeah, because the rangers, they will rent you the gun, correct?
Absolutely, they will. With my membership, I don't have to rent them. I get them, but I do have to pay for the ammo that I utilize with it. But go to a place like Top Gun, put the gun in your hand, shoot it, see if it feels good. But remember, you have to wear eye protection and ear protection. Please remember that.
Really? Hold on. Let me write that note down here. I felt so bad, but we are still together. I mean, that wasn't a deal breaker, thank goodness. I didn't know you at that point, I guess, or I didn't have your number. You know what, Megan Turnbow, thank you so much. I have mad respect for your skills. Are you making it through everything okay with the isolation? Are you going nuts? You know, you mentioned the world is crazy. I believe that the world is vibrating with all this uncertainty. And I think that that's why I choose to carry as well, because you don't know when somebody's going to snap in front of you.
Well, and that's the truth. And it'll be at the least, you know, places you expect it. I mean, it's happened in movie theaters. It happens in stores. It happens outside. Sure. You really don't know. So having your carry and conceal for me is very important, and you'll get used to it. It's just like an everyday thing now. I certainly don't want to be the victim. And for the single women out there, or not, if you have children, to be able to protect your children is what you want to do. But please learn safety and know how to put your gun up at night and where the children don't get it, and just learn the basics. And learn them well.
And know what to expect from it. Well, Megan Turnbow, thank you so much for your time on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We will talk again soon, okay?
My pleasure. Thank you, Bo.
Awesome. Okay, the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, this segment brought to you by Razorback Armory, your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. They've been in business a long time. They know what they're talking about. Heck, they probably know Megan, and they want to know you as well. On Manchester Road, half mile east of 270 on Manchester, you tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory. We've got more of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors coming up next. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Tony Colombo's on vacation, but Chad Ellis, the executive producer, and myself are making it happen. And I just heard a story. I just met a guy a couple of weeks ago, and then I heard a story last night about his daughter. And it's in regards to firearms. Now, we just talked to Megan Turnbow. She said she was, you know, very young, but she had a group of family and friends that were all about firearms. So she grew up with them very safely as well. I want to welcome Sean Daniels to the show, because Sean's daughter was very familiar with firearms at a young age, so much so that it was an experience that she had at, I believe it was school, that she really showed her skills when it came to firearms. Sean, welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, sir.
Oh, it's great to talk with you and be on the station today.
You have got a lot of pride when you talk about your daughter. She is a St. Louis County police officer now, but take me back to that, to when she was growing up. You're all about firearms. You showed her how to do it right.
Sure. Well, many, many, many years ago, my daughter's now 23, back when she was very young, I was around firearms all my life and had wonderful parents who allowed me to basically get a super nice collection. We did a lot of shooting, gunsmithing, reloading, did a lot of competition shooting back in the day. I had three children. Unfortunately, my oldest one, no longer with us, he passed away in February of last year. But Mike was a fanatic, loved to shoot, loved the shooting sports. My daughter loved it, and I was a federally licensed firearms dealer for a number of years back in the 80s and 90s. And I put some stuff away for the children, and my daughter got her first experience going out to the property we have and doing some target shooting, which she absolutely loved.
About what age was she, do you think?
Pardon me?
About how old was she? About how old was she?
Lizzie was probably, I would say, 10. I'd say 10. I would say 10 years old.
Okay.
She'd been around this stuff, but to where she really, we felt comfortable where she'd be able to get out and handle something small. And
okay.
We took out, it was a little Winchester lever action 22, and she really showed a lot of enjoyment and became very, very, very good with the shooting, in the shooting sports. She had extremely excellent vision. I mean, she was just putting the rounds through the same hole in the target, and I was very impressed.
Wow.
Yeah, she was very, very good. I was very proud of her. And as she got older, we worked our way up, and Liz loved shooting anything. When she got in her mid-teen years, it was not uncommon for her to say, "Dad, take the old M1 Garand out, or can you take the Springfield out?" Or I mean, we had some. The biggest one we had was a Winchester 375 Holland Magnum, and she says, "Dad, I want to shoot the 375." Loved shooting the 45, the 44 Magnum. I mean, this gal was not afraid of anything. Would sit there and rack off round after round after round of 12 gauge with double aught buck coming out the barrel. I mean, you know, that's a heavy load. She loved it and was not afraid of it. She respected it, but she was very, very good. And
tell me about the story that I just heard about her with the law enforcement.
Well, when she was in high school, and I believe this was her, it was either her junior or senior year, she had the opportunity to go with I think four or five other students down to the FBI building here in St. Louis, and she went down there just to see what it was all about. And one of the agents was showing him, you know, the lab down there, and then taking him into the gun room where they had all the firearms in there, and he took a Thompson submachine gun. It was a 1928 A1 model, I believe. And he says, "Who knows what this is?" And my daughter says, "Oh, that's a Thompson submachine gun." And he kind of looked, and he says, "Oh, okay. That's." He says, "That's great, you know." And he says, "You know, do you know much about it?" She says, "Well, you know, it shoots the 45 caliber, the automatic pistol cartridge." And he says, "Well, does anybody know why they call it a submachine gun?" And, of course, my daughter being around me, she says, "Well, it doesn't fire a rifle cartridge. It fires a subcaliber or a pistol cartridge." Well, they just kind of hit it off, and it's showing her, like, some of the AR-15s that they carried, the M4 models and stuff, and she knew. And he was just so impressed that when this was over, she was talking with him, and she had her picture taken with an FBI, like a windbreaker, and she's holding the Thompson. And she still has it in her room, and every time I look at it, I just think, this is great, you know? That, she really was interested in law enforcement prior to that, but this really got her revved up. And
got her hooked, yeah.
Really.
And so her trajectory is that she has now become, at 23, a county police officer, St. Louis County, and as a father, and you and your wife are, when we see the headlines today, you know she has the skill set. She is going to be as safe as possible in this crazy world we're living in. How does it feel to be parents of a police officer today?
Well, you know, I have a lot of respect for her. We do a lot of praying, both my wife and I and our family. This is something that she wanted to do. And she did 4 years at Southeast Missouri State in Cape Girardeau in criminal justice and went through the police academy down there last year. And when this all ended in December, when she graduated from the academy, she contacted St. Louis County and arranged for an interview. And they were extremely impressed with her, impressed with her grades. and they offered her a job, and she was pinned on April 10th of this year.
Wow.
It was a great, great deal. We got to meet the new police chief, Mary Barton, and just she seems like a real great gal, very tough, and it's a tough job. But both my wife and I are 100% behind her every time she leaves for work, and she's actually working today through Sunday. So they work 4 10-hour days. My wife always says, we'll see you tonight, be safe. And Dad always says the same thing he's always said, watch their hands and never turn your back on anyone. And I say repeatedly every time she leaves, if I'm here. It is, you know, you wonder how everything is going to go.
Of course.
You pray that they come home. We had an issue this past weekend, Saturday, where we lost the officer in the city, nobody wants to get that call. His father was interviewed. I didn't see it. I do not know how his father was able to talk after dealing with that loss. I just, that was awful. And that's the one thing that, you know, I hope we never get. But
of course.
I will say that she's had a wonderful experience. The officers and individuals she works with are fantastic. She has such respect for them. She loves her job. She looks forward to going every day. And it's great. She wants to help. She wants to serve. She wants to help those out there that are in need. And I could tell you stories. It would take more than this radio show of just in her short, 6-7 months of people and assisted.
Awesome. Sean Daniels is the father of a St. Louis County police officer, Liz. And I've got to ask you, because she's so new to the department, is there any kind of, rookie pranks that the other cops pull on? Has she talked about any of that stuff, or has she just been part of the team? She's moved up, you know, from the farm team to the pros. Now she's part of this team. There's no initiation crap that goes on. It's just she's now part of their team.
No, she's basically part of the team. She was with a field training officer from her first day on duty, and she did serve time in another another district. She's in the fourth, but she was actually up in the second, which went up more north, up towards the airport. She's had a great time. They spoke very highly of her. She was very professional. Again, she just she loves the job. There was no real besides and they basically at first, you know, you just kind of watch, and then I guess basically it was almost within the first week, I believe, she was driving the vehicle. She was walking up and doing the stops, and of course her FTO field training officer was watching to make sure everything was right. The kind of neat thing was her first day by herself. Was last month. It was August 3rd, and it just happened that way. That was her big brother, who's no longer with us. That would have been his 29th birthday, and that was her first day by herself. And how that happened, I think we had some help from upstairs. I think her brother may have been involved. I think she's got a good guardian angel with her, Bo. I really do.
I would agree, and we will keep Liz in our prayers for sure. My wife and I say our prayers every night, and our first responders and law enforcement and our military are always in there. Sean Daniels, a new friend and a fast friend of mine. We're going to keep him on for the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors podcast exclusive, which will be launched and put out there on Monday. But he's a gun guy, so we're going to talk guns in the podcast exclusive, and I don't want you to miss that. Tony Colombo will be back from vacation and joining the program with us next week. So on behalf of Chad Ellis, our executive producer, my name is Bo Matthews. I hope you have a great week. Be safe. This is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Awesome. Okay, the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, this segment brought to you by Razorback Armory, your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. They've been in business a long time. They know what they're talking about. Heck, they probably know Megan, and they want to know you as well. On Manchester Road, half mile east of 270 on Manchester, you tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory. We've got more of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors coming up next. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Tony Colombo's on vacation, but Chad Ellis, the executive producer, and myself are making it happen. And I just heard a story. I just met a guy a couple of weeks ago, and then I heard a story last night about his daughter. And it's in regards to firearms. Now, we just talked to Megan Turnbow. She said she was, you know, very young, but she had a group of family and friends that were all about firearms. So she grew up with them very safely as well. I want to welcome Sean Daniels to the show, because Sean's daughter, was very familiar with firearms at a young age, so much so that it was an experience that she had at, I believe it was school, that she really showed her skills when it came to firearms. Sean, welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, sir.
Oh, it's great to talk with you and be on the station today.
You have got a lot of pride when you talk about your daughter. She is a St. Louis County police officer now, but take me back to that, to when she was growing up. You're all about firearms. You showed her how to do it right.
Sure. Well, many, many, many years ago, my daughter's now 23, back when she was very young, I was around firearms all my life and had wonderful parents who allowed me to basically get a super nice collection. We did a lot of shooting, gunsmithing, reloading, did a lot of competition shooting back in the day. I had three children. Unfortunately, my oldest one, no longer with us. He passed away in February of last year. But Mike was a fanatic, loved to shoot, loved the shooting sports. My daughter loved it, and I was a federally licensed firearms dealer for a number of years back in the 80s and 90s. And I put some stuff away for the children, and my daughter got her first experience going out to the property we have and doing some target shooting, which she absolutely loved.
About what age was she, do you think?
Pardon me?
About how old was she? About how old was she?
Lizzie was probably, I would say, 10. I'd say 10. I would say 10 years old.
Okay.
She'd been around this stuff, but to where she really, we felt comfortable where she'd be able to get out and handle something small. And
okay.
We took out, it was a little Winchester lever action 22, and she really showed a lot of enjoyment and became very, very, very good with the shooting, in the shooting sports. She had extremely excellent vision. I mean, she was just putting the rounds through the same hole in the target, and I was very impressed.
Wow.
Yeah, she was very, very good. I was very proud of her. And as she got older, we worked our way up, and Liz loved shooting anything. When she got in her mid-teen years, it was not uncommon for her to say, "Dad, take the old M1 Garand out, or can you take the Springfield out?" Or I mean, we had some, the biggest one we had was a Winchester 375 Holland Magnum. And she says, "Dad, I want to shoot the 375. Loved shooting the 45, the 44 Magnum. I mean, this gal was not afraid of anything. Would sit there and rack off round after round after round of 12-gauge with double-aught buck coming out the barrel. I mean, you know, that's a heavy load. She loved it and was not afraid of it. She respected it. But she was very, very good. And
So tell me about the story that I just heard about her with the law enforcement.
Well, when she was in high school, and I believe this was either her junior or senior year, she had the opportunity to go with, I think, four or five other students down to the FBI building here in St. Louis. And she went down there just to see what it was all about. And one of the agents was showing him, you know, the lab down there, and then taking him into the gun room where they had all the firearms in there. And he took a Thompson submachine gun. It was a 1928 A1 model, I believe. And he says, "Who knows what this is?" And my daughter says, "Oh, that's a Thompson submachine gun." And he kind of looked, and he says, "Oh, okay. That's he says, "That's great, you know." And he says, "You know, do you know much about it?" She says, "Well, you know, it shoots the 45 caliber, the automatic pistol cartridge." And he says, "Well, does anybody know why they call it a submachine gun?" And, of course, my daughter being around me, she says, "Well, it doesn't fire a rifle cartridge. It fires a subcaliber or a pistol cartridge." Well, they just kind of hit it off, and it's showing her like some of the AR-15s that they carried, the M4 models and stuff, and she knew. And he was just so impressed that when this was over, she was talking with him, and she had her picture taken with an FBI, like a windbreaker, and she's holding the Thompson. And she still has it in her room. And every time I look at it, I just think, this is great. You know, that she really was interested in law enforcement prior to that, but this really got her revved up. And
got her hooked,
Really
neat. And so her trajectory is that she has now become, at 23, a county police officer, St. Louis County, and as a father, and you and your wife are, when we see the headlines today, you know she has the skill set. She is going to be as safe as possible in this crazy world we're living in. How does it feel to be parents of a police officer today?
Well, you know, I have a lot of respect for her. We do a lot of praying, both my wife and I and our family. This is something that she wanted to do. And she did 4 years at Southeast Missouri State in Cape Girardeau in criminal justice and went through the police academy down there last year. And when this all ended in December, when she graduated from the academy, she contacted St. Louis County and arranged for an interview. And they were extremely impressed with her, impressed with her grades. And they offered her a job, and she was pinned on April 10th of this year.
Wow.
It was a great, great deal. We got to meet the new police chief, Mary Barton, and just she seems like a real great gal, very tough, and it's a tough job. But both my wife and I are 100% behind her every time she leaves for work, and she's actually working today through Sunday. So they work 4 10-hour days. My wife always says, "We'll see you tonight. Be safe." And Dad always says the same thing he's always said: "Watch their hands and never turn your back on anyone." And I say repeatedly every time she leaves, if I'm here, it is, you know, you wonder how everything is going to go.
Of
and
course,
you pray that they come home. We had an issue this past weekend, Saturday, where we lost the officer in the city, nobody wants to get that call. His father was interviewed. I didn't see it. I do not know how his father was able to talk after dealing with that loss. I just, that was awful. And that's the one thing that, you know, I hope we never get. But
of course,
I will say that she's had a wonderful experience. The officers and individuals she works with are fantastic. She has such respect for them. She loves her job. She looks forward to going every day. And it's great. She wants to help. She wants to serve. She wants to help those out there that are in need. And I could tell you stories. It would take more than this radio show of just in her short, 6-7 months of people that helped and assisted.
Awesome. Sean Daniels is the father of a St. Louis County police officer, Liz. And I've got to ask you, because she's so new to the department, is there any kind of rookie pranks that the other cops pull on? Has she talked about any of that stuff, or has she just been part of the team? Is she's moved up, you know, from the farm team to the pros. Now she's part of this team. There's no initiation crap that goes on. It's just there. She's now part of their team.
No, she's basically part of the team. She was with a field train officer from her first day on duty. And she did serve time in another another district. She's in the fourth, but she was actually up in the second, which went up more north, up towards the airport. She's had a great time. They spoke very highly of her. She was very professional. Again, she just she loves the job. There was no real besides and they basically at first, you know, you just kind of watch, and then I guess basically it was almost within the first week, I believe, she was driving the vehicle. She was walking up and doing the stops, and of course her FTO field train officer was watching to make sure everything was right. The kind of neat thing was her first day by herself. Was last month. It was August 3rd, and it just happened that way. That was her big brother, who's no longer with us. That would have been his 29th birthday, and first day by herself. And how that happened, I think we had some help from upstairs. I think her brother may have been involved. I think she's got a good guardian angel with her, Bo. I really do.
I would agree, and we will keep Liz in our prayers for sure. My wife and I say our prayers every night, and our first responders and law enforcement and our military are always in there. Sean Daniels, a new friend and a fast friend of mine, we're going to keep him on for the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors podcast exclusive, which will be launched and put out there on Monday. But he's a gun guy, so we're going to talk guns in the podcast exclusive, and I don't want you to miss that. Tony Colombo will be back from vacation and joining the program with us next week. So on behalf of Chad Ellis, our executive producer, my name is Bo Matthews. I hope you have a great week. Be safe. This is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.